Day 83 of Seeking a Path to the Good Life, a walk through the Bible in a year. Let's return to the Hebrew Bible, reading 1 Samuel 7 to 9. And the people of Kiriath Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. They consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Samuel as judge. Then Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Astartes from among you. Direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So Israel put away the Baals and the Astartes, and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray for the Lord, pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord. They fasted that day and said, "We have sinned against the Lord," and Samuel judged the Israelites at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us and pray that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines." So Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel, but the Lord thundered with a mighty voice that day against the Philistines and threw them into a confusion, and they were rooted before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them down as far as beyond Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer. For he said, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The towns that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would come back to Ramah, for his home was there. He administered justice there to Israel and built there an altar to the Lord. Israel demands a king. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah, and they were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, "You are old and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint us then a king to govern us like other nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to govern us." Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to the voice of the people in all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them up out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so as they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice only. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who reigns over them. So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands, of commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take 1/10 of your grain and all of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkey and put them to his work. He will take 1/10 of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And on that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you on that day." Israel's request for a king granted. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, "No, we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may also be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles." When Samuel heard all of the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Listen to their voice and set a king over them." Samuel said to them, "Each of you return home." Saul chosen to be king. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, son Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Becherath, son of Ephiah, a Benjaminite, a man of wealth. He had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the Israelites more handsome than he, and he stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, had strayed. So Kish said to his son Saul, "Take one of the young men with you. Go and look for the donkeys." He passed through the hill country of Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalishah, but they did not find them. And they passed through the land of Shalim, but they were not there. Then they passed through the land of Benjamin, but they did not find them. When they came to the land of Zuph, Saul said to the young man who was with him, "Let us turn back, or my father will stop worrying about the donkeys and worry about us." But he said to him, "There is a man of God in this town. He is a man held in honor. Whatever he says always comes true. Let us go there now. Perhaps he will tell us about the journey on which we have set out." Then Saul replied to the young man, "But if we go, can we bring the man? What can we bring the man? For the bread in our sacks is gone, and there is no present to bring to the man of God. What have we?" The young man answered Saul again, "Here, I have with me a quarter shekel of silver. I will give it to the man of God to tell us our way. Formerly in Israel, anyone who went to inquire of God would say, 'Come, let us go to the seer,' for the one who is now called a prophet was formerly called a seer." Saul said to the young man, "Go, come, let us go." So they went to the town where the man of God was. As they went up the hill to the town, they met some young women coming out to draw water and said to them, "Is the seer here?" They answered, "Yes, there he is ahead of you. Hurry, he has come just now to the town because the people have a sacrifice today at the shrine. As soon as you enter the town, you will meet him before he goes up to the shrine to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, since he must bless the sacrifice. Afterward, those eat who are invited. Now go up, for you will meet him immediately." So they went up to the town, and they were entering the town. They saw Samuel coming out towards them on his way up to the shrine. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send to you a man from the land of Benjamin. And you shall anoint him to be ruler over my people, Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen the suffering of my people because of their outcry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall rule over my people." Then Saul approached Samuel inside the gate and said, "Tell me, please, where is the house of the seer?" Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the shrine, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys, that were lost 3 days ago, give no further thought to them, for they have been found. And on whom is all Israel's desire fixed, if not on you and on all your ancestral house? Saul answered, I am only a Benjaminite from the least of the tribes of Israel, and my family is the humblest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then have you spoken to me in this way? Then Samuel took Saul and the young man and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited, of whom there were about 30. And Samuel said to the cook, bring the portion I gave you, the one I asked to put aside. The cook took up the upper thigh and set it before Saul. Samuel said, see, what was reserved is set before you. Eat, for it was kept for you for the appointed time, so that you might eat with the guests. So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the shrine into the town, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul upon the roof. Get up so that I may send you on your way. Saul got up, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. Samuel anoints Saul. As they were going down to the outskirts of the town, Samuel said to Saul, tell the young man to go on before us, and when he has passed on, stop here for yourself for a while, that I may make known to you the word of God. As you listen to these chapters, what did you notice? The people of Israel continue to seek a king, turning from all that God had promised. Why do we fail to trust in God when God has promised us far more than we can ever understand? As God's people, we repeatedly seek and turn towards what we see as good when it is not even close to what God offers. Now let's turn to 2 John chapter 1. Salutation. The elder to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Truth and love. I was overjoyed to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we have been commanded by the Father. But now, dear lady, I ask you, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning, let us love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard it from the beginning, you must walk in it. Many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Be on your guard so that you do not lose what we have worked for, but may receive a full reward. Everyone who does not abide in the teaching of Christ, but goes beyond it, does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive and welcome this person into your house. For to welcome is to participate in the evil deeds of such a person. Final greetings. Although I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk with you face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister send you their greetings. As you listen to this chapter, what did you notice? Love is defined as walking according to God's commandments. If we go back to the greatest commandment, as Jesus reminded us, it is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love our neighbor. I wonder if the language in this letter around those who do not follow the teachings of Christ tempt us to not love those who think and believe differently than us. I would argue that everyone is our neighbor, and we are to love everyone with the love of God. It is through that love that we may dismantle hate and be a witness to the teachings of Christ. Let's end our time in prayer. Our Father, who is in the skies, may your name be recognized as holy. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done, as it is in the skies, so also on the land. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive those indebted to us. Don't lead us into the test, but deliver us from the evil one.
Thank you.